made sure they taught me love. And they taught everybody love. That's how they were. So you just because you're born in a pastor's house don't mean you share their convictions. Now, sometimes I did what was right. It's not because I wanted to. I didn't want to get caught. And some things I didn't do is because I didn't want to get caught. And I didn't want to do nothing that would embarrass my mother. I didn't want my mother to know that I would have done some of the things that I had in my mind to do. But she stayed ahead of me. And she knew how I thought. And she knew where I was in life. And she made sacrifices just for me. She was going to go and get if she had done this, she would have made a lot more money until she retired. And it would have really affected her retirement. If she had went back and got a master's, she was about to do it. And another teacher, they were going to ride together so they wouldn't be as tired when they go to school. But I was like that age, right? What they would call middle school age. You know, back in those days, elementary went to the eighth grade. Well, then they got middle school, which is pre-high school. We didn't have that then. It went to the eighth grade. But in those eighth grade, you know, and during those times, that's where she was going to go. I still had years to go in school, and she could have went to school for a year or two and made a lot more money doing the same thing. But she said, she called it off. I believe she took it to the Lord in prayer, and she told the other teacher that she was going to ride with, I can't go right. I can't do this. My son needs me. And I know for a fact, if my mother would have been gone, I would have done things that I shouldn't have done and regretted my life. I might not even be alive. So children need you when they need you. And you can't trust them just because they act right. You have to trust the Holy Spirit. And you have to share things with them and teach them and be patient. And sometimes things are boiling or going on in their life and you don't see it. They keep it hid. We keep stuff hid. When we think like the world, we act like the world. We hide our mischief. And I can tell you right now, don't stop praying for children, especially the youngest ones, because the Lord had his hand on my life. Sometimes I tried to do things and it never would work. So when I got 17, 18, I did some things I wish I didn't do. But when I got to be, once I got saved, all that was gone. I was a new creature and I didn't want no parts of the world again. And so, you know, the reason I brought that up is because the enemy, he's not going to sit back and watch you raise your children without some kind of interference. And so the enemy did this. He sold people in our path, you know, me, my friends, to get us off track. And the interference didn't come from within. It came from without. And the television and what older guys was doing and what they talked about. Everybody's got influence. And the girls, everybody's got influence. Men, women, boys, girls, teenagers, they all got influence. So you have to pay attention to the Holy Spirit more than you pay attention to them. Because if you pay attention to the Holy Spirit, he'll show you how to steer them. But see, I had a vision. I had a goal. God didn't give me a vision on this. This time I'm saying vision. I wanted my children to love God. I said, I was a preacher's child. I didn't love God till I got saved. I had a love for him, but I didn't love him. Not like I do now. And I wanted my children to get saved, but I wanted them to love God. And I didn't want them to just act right. I told them, I said, look, I'm not raising you to be actors. I didn't say it that way. I said, you don't have to put on a show for me, but be honest with God. Love God and love people. And so God develop a relationship with him. Don't put on a show for me, just because I know how it is. I said, love God. And I prayed. I said, Lord, help me help my children love you. I want my children to understand you and love you. And you get what you, God worked with me. Now, let's go forward. Back in Acts. And if a child do something that they shouldn't do, we love them anyway. They're our children. And we go to bat for sinners that we don't even know. So if they do something wrong, you love them and you help them as much as possible. So But why, you know, they don't have to go off track. All right, back to business. Verse 10, well, that's business too, but verse 10. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. Now, this is what we get into. Verse 11 says, and when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girl, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go to Jerusalem, because they're going to put you in jail if you go, Paul. Then Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And when he would not be persuaded, we cease saying, the will of the Lord be done. Now, let's observe something here. God has mercy on his people. He loves his people. He showed the man what was going to happen. He showed Apostle Paul what was going to happen. And Paul meant well. And this is a very valuable lesson. Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, Paul's ministry wasn't over yet. He still had ministering to do to the Gentiles, because after this little episode, he ended up going to the Gentiles. So, and he could have went for a free man. He didn't have to go. It didn't do much good for him to go to Jerusalem, because the Jews didn't get saved, and they wanted him dead. And he knew they wanted him dead in the first place. Now, maybe he did some good, but anytime you take care of the anointing somewhere, you're going to do some good. But like I said earlier, the anointing has a jurisdiction. He was sent to the Gentiles. And I want to show you the wisdom of God in this. Because God had to get that man back in Gentile territory. That's why his anointing was destined to be, not to the Jews. Because he sent him to the Gentiles. So if you're where you're supposed to be, you can be rewarded for where you're supposed to be. If you're out of pocket, you can't be rewarded for being in pocket. And then you don't have what you need for the Gentiles. Ministering to the Gentiles, he didn't have an anointing for that. When you're anointed to do something, you have God's ability to do it. He didn't have God's ability to go to Jerusalem and minister to the angry Jews that wanted him dead. Because God didn't give him the anointing to do that. He was supposed to go to the Gentiles. And he didn't know this. I believe he figured it out. But I saw this. Years ago, the Lord helped me see this. Because I look into things, and I kept thinking about it. And the Lord pointed it out. And the more I understood about the anointing can have a jurisdiction. One time I dreamt that I was teaching Sunday school at a church I used to go to when I was supposed to be at the church I go to now. Not that I wanted to go back to the other church, but the Lord was showing me something. I was somewhere he didn't have me there. He had me where I was supposed to be. And in the dream, I was upset because I knew I was at the other church where I once had an anointing to teach Sunday school. I was there with the anointing, but the anointing was set for where I go now. And I was frustrated. I said, I missed it. I'm out of pocket. And I didn't like it. Now, the Lord brought that to me. And why would he do that? Because that's how I learned the anointing has a jurisdiction. If you're not where you're supposed to be, then you can't produce the fruit that you should produce. And the anointing can't mount up like it's supposed to. And it can't function because it's supposed to be where God sent you. That's very important. And so when you're out of pocket, it's not the same. When you're operating under the anointing, you know, Paul, he kept, no matter what happened, he always won. And you'll feel like, well, if I go, I can go to Jerusalem, because wherever I go, no matter what happened to me, I win anyway. Even under death, he didn't care about that. He wanted to honor Jesus. But I don't think he knew that going to Jerusalem was out of the boundary of his anointing. Now, God loves fail-safes. Watch what happened. And when he would not be persuaded, Now this is Luke talking because he wrote Acts. We see saying the will of the Lord be done. They stopped trying to persuade him, and then they said the will of the Lord be done. Now, I thank God they did that, because what happened was, when he went to court, he ended up in court, in Felix's court. And you know the story. I'm not going to go into all of it, but he was in Agrippa, Felix, verses 25, 26. When you study it out, Paul ended up appealing to Caesar. When you know the story, the Jews was hiding out, waiting to ambush him. And they found out about it. His nephew told him about it. So they were aware of it. But when Paul appealed to Caesar, they had to send him to Caesar. And they had to send him with the army escort. The Jews were not going to get past those Roman soldiers. Not only, they would have got killed trying. But God, this is the wisdom of God. Nobody had to die. And they had sworn themselves to a fast, that they wouldn't eat till they killed them or put them in jail or whatever they were going to do, or capture them. But the soldiers took him, and they sailed. They ended up going to Caesar. And on the way, many people got saved on the island, you know, when they had the shipwreck. Now he's back in Gentile territory where he's anointed to be. And so whatever happens, it's going to be good. No matter what they do, when they can do that worse, but, you know, he was back in the hands of the Gentiles, and he was back where his anointing, what he was anointed to do. Now, the Lord wants us to, as we go forward doing his will and his work, stay in your lane. If we just stay in that perfect will of God, the permissive will of God is nowhere near as good as the perfect will of God. It's just better than dying. But the perfect will of God is where you're going to see the miracles. Now, again, I'm out of time again. I hate being out of time. But real quick, Isaiah 6 and Revelation 5 and 4. Isaiah, in the presence of God, he's the only prophet that says something about his condition. And the Lord gave him the assignment to blind Israel. He said, "Lord, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I come from a people of unclean lips." You know the story. The angel touched his lips with the coal. And then the Lord said, "Who will go for me?" And he's talking to all the prophets that was there. And we don't know who they were. Because after that angel touched his lips with the coal, he's the only one recorded that said something about his condition. And when that coal touched his lips, he was a pure man again. He felt he'd done something against his sin. And who will go for me? Here am I. Send me. And the Lord told him what to say. Now, this happened again. What is this? This is hunger. I brought this up the same reason I'm going to bring up what John saw. John weeped. There was nobody to open the seal in chapter 5, Revelation 5, verse 4. Nobody to open that seal. He cried and wept. And then the Lord knew that he had somebody to open the seal. But he's showing us John's hunger and thirst for righteousness. And that's something you have to have, and you have to keep it. Because your hunger and thirst for righteousness, it empowers your anointing. You know how you watch a race and the motivated driver, he does a burnout. And he revved that engine up and do a burn. He's ready to, you know, you finna see a race. And then he ease up to the finish line with the motor rumbling. And he goose it a few times. And then, you know, you hear it. You know, he's there to win. He means business. And sometimes the other guy will do it too. And this is going to be a race, because they want to win. All right. That's what, when you have thirst and hunger for the righteousness of God, and you're focused on him, and you're willing to do whatever he say, and you're motivated, you can't wait to do this. You're in agreement. You're in covenant agreement. I'm not talking about, "Oh yes, Lord, I'll go," and you don't really care. You wish you didn't have to. And I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, "Lord, here am I. Send me." That charges you. You are alert. You're spiritually alert. Now, if you contrast a man that's spiritually alert, can't wait to do God, to do it God's way, and you're where you're supposed to be, that's when you're going to see miracles, more miracles. God always honors, and he honors obedience with signs and wonders, especially willing obedience. Especially willing obedience. When you're charged and can't wait, and you pray and you fast, and you don't let nothing stop you. Now contrast that against the worldly way. Well, that assignment don't look good. It's not going to bring me any honor. I'm just going down there. These people don't have much to give. They barely getting along. You know, you can't follow God that way. Whatever God send you. I don't care if two people get saved. I want to be where the Holy Spirit want me to be, where he is, doing whatever it is I need to be doing. But if you know you're going to this big mega church, that's what I like. When, if you contrast whatever God give you, that's the perfect. A guy told me one time, he said, how come God don't ever call people to a smaller church? I said, I believe he do. I know a man that he used to do. This guy, Elder Dixon, Odie Berry told me about him. He was in like the Selma area, and he would go and preach at a small church and get it back to where it needed to be. Then they'll send him to another one. And he was very effective. The contrast, you can't serve God with pride. If you have the pure love of God, you can always be effective. And that's the contrast. The kingdom of God works. You prosper by being generous, not just with money, but with time, with the anointing. If you obey God and you're willing and obedient, wherever he say be, the anointing mounts up. It's going to bring everything to life. And sometimes the people that people may not recognize as much, they may be much hungrier. They may be exponentially hungry for the things of God. Whereas a lukewarm church, you can preach your heart out. They're not going to budge. Now this is the contrast that the Lord gave me. So when you do it God's, we were strong in him, not in ourselves. And the things of he'll always show you more that you may not see, that you can't see. He'll guide you into things you can't even understand. But you will understand, especially if you knock, seek, and ask. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. Jesus Christ is our Lord.